12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Chalk Talk is your weekly home for football news on Penguin Radio.
Black and Yates! Black and Yates! Set, hunt, hunt.
We will take an in-depth look at some of the biggest news and notes from around the football world so you can stay up to date on some of the biggest stories and headlines. It doesn't matter if they are lining up on Sundays at Lambeau.
It's free play. Rodgers has made a living of this. Takes a shot downfield. And James Jones and Rodgers have done it again.
Or if they're on campus inside of the big house.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Chalk Talk has it's all. And now, radio.dominican.edu and Penguin Radio presents Chalk Talk. Let's head into the studio and join your host, Jeff Sefford.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Chalk Talk here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We apologize. We are just having a little bit of malfunctions with our microphones before the show. We're all good now. We should be good for the rest of the afternoon. We have a great show lined up for you this afternoon. A lot of stuff to get to in NFL talk, the Texans making a move at the quarterback position and also having an injury and an ugly week for them. The Baltimore Ravens fell last night to the Cardinals, fall to 1-6, joining the Lions as another 1-6 team that made the playoffs last season, but this year are at 1-6. The undefeated stay undefeated this week. We'll talk about them, and we'll talk about the two teams with injured quarterbacks, Tony Romo and the Cowboys, and Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who needs a win this week and who might be coming back this week for those two respective squads? And then we'll get into some college football talk. Georgia Tech pulls off another miracle in this college football season. Man, it seems like it's been quite the trend going this year. Third one already of a last second play. This one comes via a blocked punt, and it was just a blocked field goal, not a blocked punt. And it was just another absolutely just improbable play. It was a little bit similar to the Auburn-Alabama play 2 years ago in the Iron Bowl. But we'll get to that a little later and get to some other college football topics as well later in the show. All right, so let's get rolling here with the NFL talk. Ryan Mallett, I mentioned the Houston Texans and just a second ago. Ryan Mallett has been cut by the Houston Texans today after missing the team charter plane back from Miami last Sunday. He claims that it was because of traffic that he missed this charter, but it seems a little bit, that seems a little bit unlikely to me, because you would think that he would be with the team that whole entire time anyway. I mean, when you're on a road trip with a team, I feel like you're not kind of doing your own thing a lot. You're kind of, you know, you're staying in the team hotel, you're riding on the team bus, you're riding on the team plane, and you know, and I don't know what the, I'm not sure what the situation was, but that type of thing just seems to be inexcusable in my opinion, and it's something that the Texans shouldn't stand for, regardless of where they are with their quarterback situation. And the quarterback position for the Texans has been an adventure this year. I mean, oh, how the mighty have fallen. I mean, look at where Ryan Mallett has gone. I mean, he went from starting in a football game 2 weeks ago to on Thursday Night Football against the Colts. He had that one weird play where he kind of got the wind knocked out of him, and he didn't end up coming back, and Brian Hoyer enjoyed some success when Mallett was out of the game, and Hoyer stayed the starting quarterback. And of course, Mallett, you know, can be disappointed about that, but you can't take it out on the team. And this isn't the first time that Ryan Mallett has been late to something as well, as he has cited, I believe it was a team meeting that he missed earlier in this season, and he cited the reason, traffic again being the reason. So maybe crying wolf a few too many times for Ryan Mallett. And oh man, you know, if you got to, you know, on one hand, you got to feel for the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien, because, you know, I don't see this as a Bill O'Brien head coach problem. And, you know, and I've heard people talk about Bill O'Brien even possibly being on the hot seat. And I just think that that's a pretty, I just don't like that. I just don't think that's the right thing to think. I don't think Bill O'Brien is to blame for all of the Houston Texans issues. And I think the Houston Texans issues, yes, we've seen J.J. Watt have some struggles and, you know, not have him have the same type of season that we've seen him have in the past, where we've seen him be MVP. Heck, he was even catching touchdown passes. Seemingly he was doing everything. But, you know, that's maybe part of the blame. And also you look at Arian Foster was out in the beginning part of the season. He came back for a game or two, and now on Sunday tore his Achilles, so now he's going to be missing the entire season. So when you don't have Arian Foster in the backfield, that's a huge loss. He does so much for your team. Not only does he set up, you know, the passing game, but, you know, running the football, but he also is literally a great option out of the backfield catching the football. And is something that they're going to have to replace. DeAndre Hopkins has been a great option on the outside for Houston this year, but, you know, you just look at this team and it all boils down to the quarterback position and just not having a solid option at the quarterback position. Brian Hoyer, not that there's anything wrong with him, but I see Brian Hoyer as a guy like a Matt Flynn or John Kitna is another guy that was like that. A guy that is good enough that when you need a spot start, Matt Cassel maybe even fits in this category, but when you need a spot start on a week, or you need a guy to come in for a couple weeks and keep your team in it, then this is the guy that you want. This is the guy that that's the guy that you want to have come in and be your type of backup, pretty much. He's a glorified backup, pretty much, is what Brian Hoyer is. He's not a guy that you should count on to be a Super Bowl contender. And, you know, and that's just where Houston is. And until they find that quarterback, and then until they find that guy that can lead them to where they want to go, then Houston will not be... Houston just will not be a relevant team in the conversation. You know, they might be able to make the playoffs and, you know, be in a playoff conversation, but, you know, who's the teams going to the playoffs, you know, or going to Super Bowls? It's Aaron Rodgers is. It's Peyton Manning. It's Tom Brady, Drew Brees, all the great quarterbacks. The only outlier I can think of is Rex Grossman a number of years ago when the Bears made the Super Bowl. But, you know, so don't throw all the blame on Bill O'Brien, I would say, and hope that, I mean, this year should be a good year in the draft. And I'm a Houston fan. I'm thinking, hey, hopefully we can get something in the future. And, you know, because they do have some talent. And, you know, I definitely think that they can turn things around in the future, but maybe not this year. And another team headed in the wrong direction, the Baltimore Ravens were on Monday Night Football last night, and, you know, it was a relatively close game for most of it. The Ravens kind of hung around in there and played tough. They kind of played similarly to how I thought they would. They definitely did not lay down for the Cardinals, and, you know, because they still have some very proud guys on that football team. You know, you look at Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl champion, and Steve Smith, you know, in his final season in the NFL, a possible Hall of Famer, having probably one of his best seasons. I feel bad for Steve Smith more than anything for the dismantlement of the Ravens, because, I mean, here's a guy that's had a fabulous career. He's looking for one more shot, and they just can't get it going for him, and he is doing everything in his power. He is playing like he did 10 years ago, and, you know, it's a testament to how special of a player he is and how strong he is mentally, because let's not forget Steve Smith's injured, too. He has some back problems. I think he even has some broken bones back there, and he's fighting through it, and he's doing what he can, but they just haven't been able to get it done. A lot of the problems for the Ravens has been just a lack of other weapons. Part of the reason why I think Steve Smith is getting so many looks is that there isn't that many other options in the passing game for the Baltimore Ravens. And you look at it and compare it to what they had in the Super Bowl season, you know, there's no Anquan Boldin. You know, there's no other threat in that wide receiver core that teams need to be afraid of. And that's been a big factor. And I also think looking at the other side of the ball, the defense has also been a big problem. You know, not having Terrell Suggs and what he can do in the pass rush and all of that is another big point of emphasis to look at this team. But, man, 1-6, even with those problems, like I didn't see Baltimore going to this spot. Did you? I mean, you could say the same thing about the Detroit Lions. Man, I don't know why I struggle with that one so much. But anyway, the Detroit Lions are also sitting at 1-6 after losing against the Minnesota Vikings. And this is so surprising, and it shows how things can change in the NFL. You got two teams that were Super Bowl contenders a year ago. You know, you look at Detroit just barely loses to Dallas last year, and looking at Baltimore, they barely got beat by New England last year as well. So two teams that were right there in contention a year ago and have a few personnel shifts, but, you know, still had high aspirations and just have not been able to get it done. And both these teams sitting at 1-6, tied for the worst record in the NFL, it's pretty surprising, you know, to put them into the same category as teams like Jacksonville or Tennessee. It's just like, wow, you know, you expect a team like Jacksonville or Tennessee to be at where they are right now. And even Jacksonville's shown signs of improvement, but both teams are, you know, young teams, building teams. You know, you got Tennessee, Marcus Mariota was injured last week with the knee injury, that knee sprain being a problem again. It was a problem for him up at the University of Oregon in 2013, you may remember, at the end of that season where he injured that left knee against the Stanford Cardinal, and that really hurt the Ducks in 13. Now it's that same left knee again for Marcus Mariota. You just hope for the best for him and the team. And really, at this point, if you're looking at those two teams, I think the best thing you could do for those two teams is keep your two single collars upright. Those two guys are your future, and you know, in terms of Tennessee with Marcus Mariota, you just got to, you know, keep him up and protect him and make sure he doesn't get sacked too many times or injured too many times, because a lot of times you can see a lot injuries similar to where Mariota had his, where it was a low hit, and the hit that was, it was a dirty hit, I will say that, and that was well documented. But plays like that are how guys get hurt. That's how you tear your ACL, going in low like that. And, you know, hopefully the Titans can find a way to protect their, you know, to protect their gold, you know, a little bit, protect your investment, and Jacksonville hopefully can do the same. And looking at the opposite end of the spectrum from the 1-6 teams, the undefeated teams just have continued to roll on. There were a couple undefeated teams with a bye this week, the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos being two of them. Those two teams will face off this week up at Mile High Stadium in Denver on Sunday Night Football. Al Michaels on the call for that one. That should be a really fun game. But the undefeated teams in action, the Carolina Panthers picked up a win against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Patriots won against the Jets. Now, this one was an interesting game. It was close throughout. The Patriots ended up winning by 10, but it was definitely a lot closer than the score would even say. I'd say the biggest play in the game was when Brandon Marshall dropped the ball in the end zone about midway through the fourth quarter, and the Jets had to settle for a field goal on that drive to put the score at, I believe it put the Jets up by 4, which allowed New England to go down the field and take the lead with a touchdown. Now, an 8-point lead obviously is much different than a 4-point lead, and it changes a lot of your dynamic. And I think if that catch is made, that is a completely different ball game, and the Jets showed the AFC that they are probably a playoff contender at this point, probably going to be right in there fighting for probably a wild card spot, I would assume, with how New England is doing. But that defense is tough. You know, Tom Brady was under duress for a lot of that game. And the one thing I look at with the Patriots that raises a red flag, I saw a statistic about their offense today that they have thrown the ball on over 70% of their snaps. Now, you expect a team like New England to throw the ball a majority of the time when you have possibly the one of the best quarterbacks. So it's not possibly, he is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady, behind center. Of course you're going to throw the ball when you got Gronkowski, and your whole offense is predicated on the pass. But 70% is a lot, and there's only two other teams that fall into this category. One is the Detroit Lions, 1-6, and the other team is the Indianapolis Colts, who are 3-4 and have had a lot of struggles this season as well. It has not been a great season for them whatsoever to this point. Definitely, you know, something that they're another team look with Super Bowl aspirations and may still have a shot at the playoffs, because the division they play in is not the strongest in the NFL. So they might be able to turn it around. But I guess the point is that the teams that are throwing the ball as much as New England have a combined record of let's see here, I believe it's 4-10. Yes, 4-10. And that's just not a good look. And when you get to the playoffs and the weather gets worse and the conditions are going to be worse and the pressure of footballs are going to be different, just kidding. You know, it's just a different football game. You're not going to be able to get away with just throwing the football. I think Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos proved that in 2012 when they lost to the Ravens. And that's part of the reason why they've shifted towards the type of offense they have now with Hillman and C.J. Anderson and a team that loves to run the football and have balance. That's part of the reason why they did that, is because a strictly passing offense, doesn't work, because eventually you will run into a defense that can stop even Tom Brady. And this has happened before. You look back to, you know, you got to think now that before last year, the Patriots, it had been 10 years before they had, you know, since they had won a Super Bowl. It had been a while, and they had lost a number of playoff games because defenses had been able to get to Tom Brady, been able to stop Tom Brady, and they can't just lean and put all of their chips on Tom Brady, I guess is what the main point should be. And they have guys in the backfield that have made some plays. LeGarrette Blount has been great near the goal line, is probably one of the better goal line backs in the league. And Deion Lewis has shown flashes of being a good young option at the running back position. So they have guys that can run the football. And I think it's, they have to run it a little bit. You know, they need to have a little bit of a threat there. Especially when you look at Tom Brady's game. He has one of the best play-action fakes ever in the history of football. And I remember once I had the pleasure of watching him play live at Gillette Stadium, and it took me half a quarter when they were running play-action to catch up with it, because you just have no idea where that football is. It is, he is just a magician at that. And if you're running play-action and they know you're not going to run the football, then there's no reason to run play action in the first place, and it just kind of defeats the purpose of it. So I know it's kind of interesting take to be calling out the Patriots on something, since they've been playing so fantastically in recent weeks, and they absolutely are at this point the best team in the NFL. I'd say Green Bay and New England are the two best teams in the NFL, and everybody else is just kind of behind them at this point. But even the best teams can have their problems, and you know, a problem unsolved could be a really big issue down the road. And for this team, they just got to find a little bit more balance, and we'll see what they can do this week. An interesting game for the Patriots this week on a short week, going up against Miami on Thursday night. So that should be an interesting game. Miami has looked a little bit better the last couple weeks, ever since they fired Joe Philbin. It's been kind of like, let's fire him up, you know? I mean, they were unbelievable on Sunday against the Texans, even though the Texans looked really awful. I mean, that offense was rolling. Lamar Miller, Jarvis Landry was making plays. Ryan Tannehill broke the NFL record for most consecutive completions in a row, and combined from two games, I believe it was 26 straight completions. So this should be an interesting test for New England this week, and I'll be interested to see how they're able to handle it and if they decide to run the football a little bit more. All right, we are going to head to our first break. We are just a few minutes past almost fourth, just about 4:25 here Pacific time here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We are going to play a couple PSAs for you and then come back with some NCAA football talk. All right, stay with us.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis
upgrade to
reaction.
OS 10.
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
But those were all inside of 40. From the left hash, 56-yarder, just like last week against Pittsburgh. Kick is blocked! Georgia Tech blocks it! The Jackets pick it up back in the 25, and Austin is returning it down the left sideline. Past the 50, past the 30, inside the 20,
and
he scores! He scores! Lance Austin picked up the block kick! Turn it all the way to the house of the North End Zone. We've had the miracle on North Avenue. This is the miracle on Techwood Drive.
And now, Jock Talk. Here is your host, Jeff Safford.
Welcome back to Jock Talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. And what a great call that was from Georgia Tech Radio in Atlanta, Georgia. That was the call of the final play of the game from the game this past weekend between Florida State and Georgia Tech. What a crazy ending. A blocked field goal that results in a return for a touchdown for the win for the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech. I love that. And that was also the song that was playing in the background. That was the fight song for Georgia Tech playing in the background there. Brandon Gowden on the call was Sean Bedford. Brandon Gowden and Sean Bedford were the two broadcasters on the call for that broadcast. And what a crazy season it's been so far. I mean, holy cow. I mean, I can't remember the last time there's been so many crazy endings. I mean, we've had this play, the play a couple weeks ago with Michigan State and Michigan where the punt was ran back for a touchdown, and we had the Hail Mary with BYU. Heck, BYU had two. They had two Hail Marys this season. The one crazy one, week one, with Connor Mangum coming in off the bench against Nebraska over in Lincoln. That was a doozy. And then the very next week at home against Boise State, they pulled off another Hail Mary-esque pass on a fourth and long where Mangum just kind of threw the ball up and somebody made the play in the end zone. And, whew, man, better buckle up your seatbelts, folks, for this end of the college football season, because it's going to get interesting, and we're going to be seeing some shakeups in the standings. But one shakeup comes on the side of the coaches, and it's coming out of the University of Miami. And if you watch that game on Saturday where Miami was facing up against Clemson, you had to see this coming, because Al Golden, the coach at Miami, has been fired yesterday, and can't come as a big surprise, as Miami was beaten 58-0 at home on Saturday against the Clemson Tigers. And a team like, I should say, a program like Miami is just not going to stand for this type of mediocrity. You know, they are a very proud program, and it's a program that has a lot of different, you know, alumni and people that advocate for the school. I'd put their program in the same category as a Texas or a Notre Dame or Florida State. I mean, the list goes on. Bama. They're just 4-3 is not good enough for this program. And they have been able to still recruit some pretty good players. And part of the problem is this team is pretty young and is still growing, but Golden has been there for a number of years now, and he's been able to get the team to a similar position to this, you know, or maybe a few games better, but he hasn't been able to get Miami up over the top. He hasn't been able to get them back to the into the national title conversation or into a big bowl game per se. It's just been a struggle, and I really think that they just have to find the right personality of a coach. They need to find their Jim Harbaugh. Now, work with me here. I mean, I understand that there's not going to be a lot of, you know, guys that are alumni. Well, maybe there are a fair amount of former alumni that'd be interested in coming back and coaching. You know, they'd have to look into that type of thing. But they need to find a guy, you know, they need to find that rah-rah voice. And that's, I mean, you've seen it this year with Michigan, where they have were struggling mightily the last couple of years under Brady Hoke. And once Harbaugh got in there, bam, it just took off like a fire. I mean, I understand they're 5-2 and, you know, they're not having an absolutely fabulous year, but you got to remember, like, one of the losses they had was one of the crazy games I just brought up, where they had a punter literally throw the ball to a Michigan State player and it was run back for a touchdown. I mean, it's one of the craziest plays in the history of Michigan Stadium. Maybe the play with Cordell Stewart when he was with Colorado on that Hail Mary close over 20 years ago, maybe that was a crazier play. But, I mean, you could make the argument that that was the craziest play that ever happened at that stadium. So I guess the point is that that program's definitely headed in the right direction, and it happened right now, that it happened really fast. And that's what can happen. You know, if you get the right guy in there with the right message and he gets his team motivated, then they're going to be off and running. Because you look at a team like Miami, it's not that they're not getting talent. You know, they're getting those 4- and 5-star recruits. It's just that they're not succeeding on the field. It's a similar problem to that the USC Trojans are having. It's not that they're not getting the talent. I mean, Cody Kessler and that whole, you know, everything that's going on with SC, you know, it's not, you know, they've always had top 10 recruiting classes. It's just finding that right coach. And USC had the coach with Pete Carroll, and Miami had the coach with Dennis Erickson way back in the day. But those guys are gone. And, you know, one is up in a booth with the University of Utah right now with Dennis Erickson, and the other one's on the sidelines in the NFL with the Seahawks, with Pete Carroll. So they just, you know, it's a tough thing to order to, you know, go find the next great college football coach. But when you're the University of Miami, you can do that. And speaking of Utah, I was just brought up Dennis Erickson. He is an offensive coach at the University of Utah. The Utah Utes suffered their first loss of the season. They dropped out of the top 10, dropped to number 14 in the rankings after the loss to USC. Was just talking about them and their struggles. They improved to 4-3, and really, this was a win I feel like USC really had to have, you know, even if it was just for a morale standpoint. And, you know, just to get some kind of positive vibes going on in the program. You know, you're playing at home, and I just don't think, you know, I think there could have been a mutiny if if USC didn't win that one. I mean, they had already lost a couple of games at home. They lost to Stanford at home, lost to Washington at home. A third loss at home would just be demoralizing for a team. And give credit to USC for coming out and playing. And, you know, I don't know what it is, but we've seen this happen before, and we've seen it happen with USC recently. You may remember Ed Orgeron a couple years ago when he took over for Lane Kiffin, led a similar type of a victory to this, you know, when they beat Stanford a number of years ago in a similar situation up at home in an upset type game. And this is exactly what USC did here. And, you know, maybe it's kind of that win one for the Gipper type of mentality. I'm not entirely sure, but the important thing is for USC is that they are able to get off the schneid, so to speak, and they are able to pick up a win. And for Utah, on the other hand, you know, it's definitely a tough loss for them. Obviously, they would have liked to go gone undefeated and, you know, make it a lot easier on themselves, but definitely not done yet, and maybe it's a good thing for this team to have picked up that one loss, you know, and maybe the maybe it'll be a good thing to refocus the team and kind of, you know, maybe let go of some of the jitters of being an undefeated. I think that might be a factor. And, you know, you expect with the Utes that they'll be able to lick their wounds a little bit this week and kind of get back on track, because they are hosting one of the worst teams in the Pac-12 this week with Oregon State. So, and the rest of their schedule, it definitely looks as though that the hardest games on the schedule are behind them. They do have a matchup with UCLA at the end of the year is one game to look at, but that is, I believe, also at home. So it's, you know, I definitely see Utah as definitely still the favorite in the Pac-12 South. And if they are to win the Pac-12 South as a one loss and win the entire Pac-12 as a one loss team, then I definitely believe that they would still be in the running for the playoff. And, you know, and this is still definitely not a team that you can write off just yet. It's going to be an interesting week in college football. It's another week where there aren't a whole lot of really huge marquee matchups to pay attention to, but there are some definite eyebrow raisers on the slate this week. One to kind of take a look at is the primetime game. We'll take a look at that one first on Saturday night. Looking at a game that's going to be played in Philadelphia between the Temple Owls and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now, this is game is very interesting because you look at Temple, a football program that's usually kind of a cellar dweller, you know, kind of the joke of Division I. I mean, you know, for many years they're in the same category as Baylor, being kind of cellar dwellers in NCAA football. But similar to Baylor, Temple has been able to turn things around, and they are undefeated this season, sitting at 7-0. Picked up a big win the first week of the year when they were able to get by Penn State. That was a big win for them, and now going up against the Golden Domers at home. Man, what a atmosphere that should be on Saturday night. And College Game Day is going to be there. It should be a sight to be seen, that's for sure. And man, party up in Philly this weekend. Whew, I'm sure it'll be pretty wild to say the least. But you know, and you look at this team, and the main thing when you look at a team like Temple, who's playing in a conference that's a mid-major, you know, it's not a Power 5 conference, is do they have the horses to run with Notre Dame? And I think that's the biggest thing that we'll have to look at in this football game is that Temple defense that's been so good and so tough this season, are they going to be able to stand up to Notre Dame? Are they going to be able to stop them? And is on the other end, is Temple's offense, who's been a little bit shaky at times this season, are they going to be able to step up? And are they going to be able to score some points? Because they're not going to, they're probably not going to be able to score 14 and, you know, scratch and claw for a win. It's going to take some points, because you look at a team like Notre Dame, they've looked good on offense. They were right there against Clemson a couple weeks ago. It took a bring your own guts type of effort from Clemson to be able to get that one, and then Coach Dabo Sweeney whipped and nay-nayed all his way to a win in that one. If you don't know Coach Dabo Sweeney, he likes to do a little whip and nay-nay in the locker room after they win. It's about the dorkiest thing you've ever seen, but I mean, whenever a coach does something like that, you just got to shake your head and laugh a little bit. At least I think you do. But you know, but Notre Dame, definitely a talented football team, and, you know, I think it'll definitely be a fun game to watch. You know, I always like the storyline of a mid-major team going up against a big power, similar to how Memphis took down Ole Miss, you know, that big SEC school facing the little mid-major, you know, from Memphis, and Paxton Lynch and Memphis were able to get it done. You know, is Temple going to be able to do the same thing? And if Temple does win, I think it brings up a whole nother argument where you're looking at, you know, how important is this Big Five conference idea anyway? And should we be just looking at teams from more of a pure talent standpoint? And I think that's definitely a good argument to have. And especially where we live today, where we have a playoff and a selection committee, and these teams aren't getting chosen by computers before like we had with the BCS. And, you know, so we have the luxury of being able to judge teams based on the body of work and, you know, and what they do on film, and not base them on what conference they play in. So if these teams show that they can come from these smaller conferences and be successful, then they should be taken seriously in playoff considerations. And they should be ranked high in the rankings for going undefeated. And they shouldn't be looked over. And it'll, you know, and regardless if Temple wins or loses this game or not, I think that's definitely an interesting conversation to have. And it'll be something interesting to look at. Now, the other game I had circled this week on my calendar is a game that a lot of people probably weren't even thinking about before this season. Maybe some people were thinking about Temple and Notre Dame because it's going to be in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial, where the Eagles play. It's going to be at night, you know, so there's probably going to be some excitement for that one regardless, but for this one, we're going to go up north. We're going to go way out to somewhere. If you're not going there, there's probably not a good reason for you to be there. We're going to Eastern Washington. We're going to the Palouse. We're going to the land of Mike Leach. We're going to Wazoo, baby. Just a name just not used to saying. We're going to Washington State for a game to look at this week. And I think they're playing up against the Stanford Cardinal, and Stanford, they better be ready, because this has upset and trap game written all over it. Wazoo, Washington State, has been playing fantastic the last couple weeks. Now, people kind of forgot about Wazoo and writ them off after the first week, and for good reason, after they lost at home to a Division II opponent. I believe it was Portland State that they lost to. I mean, when they lost that one, everybody just kind of like, what? Like, oh, geez, here we go again. You know, Wazoo, another bad year for them. But since then, they have completely turned things around and have only lost one game in that time period. And the game they lost to Cal was one that they probably could have won also. That they made, you know, just were playing on the road, made a couple of mistakes, and Cal took advantage. But make no mistake, this Wazoo team is playing with a lot of confidence, and Mike Leach, who's had a lot of great air raid offenses before and with great quarterbacks. You know, you look at guys like Graham Harrell, and they had that great team with Michael Crabtree, and, you know, just all the records that Texas Tech has broken in the passing game in the past with Mike Leach. It's always been predicated on Mike Leach having his guy, you know, having a guy that can operate the offense. And he just hadn't quite found that at Wazoo. Well, he's got his guy now, and his name is Luke Falk. Luke Falk is a fantastic football player. He's been playing great this year. I think a lot of people kind of started to pay attention to this guy after he led that really great comeback win against the Oregon Ducks a couple weeks ago in Autzen Stadium. That Ducks were up by double digits in the game, and Luke Falk led them back. And this week also, going on the road, beating the defending Pac-12 South champion, Arizona Wildcats. And they haven't had quite the year this year that they had last year, but beating, you know, it's still beating a quality opponent on the road. Not hard, not an easy thing to do. And Luke Falk had fabulous numbers and was the conference player of the week, and was also the national player of the week this week for in the college football world. Put up just crazy numbers, and now they come back home this week where they'll be playing Stanford. Stanford ranked in the top 10 this week, have fought their way back into the top 10 after that week, week one loss to Northwestern, where they just looked really flat. They've been able to get things going. McCaffrey has been fantastic running the ball. Hogan has been typical Hogan, you know, just not making too many mistakes, managing the game, keeping Stanford in it, and the defense has also done its job, so it's been a relatively typical Stanford team, you know, so to speak. They have a little bit more athleticism than teams in the past, and that's kind of the element that McCaffrey brings to this team. If you're wondering, yes, McCaffrey, it is Ed McCaffrey's son. If, for all you maybe a little bit older football fans that are listening to this. So it's definitely going to be an interesting matchup up on the Palouse at Martin Stadium. It's going to be a tough battle, I think, for Stanford, and I think Wazoo is definitely capable to win this football game. Their defense hasn't been half bad either and have been pretty good at getting to the quarterback this year. They have a pretty athletic front seven, so it's playing at home, you know, and you look at Wazoo, they are a very proud fan base. You know, whenever you see a Cougar alumni, they're always, hey, go Cougs. You know, they're always big on their Cougars, and you know that Cougar Nation is going to be fired up for this one, and I just think the Cougars could do it, and if they do pick up a win in this one, that would really throw a wrench into not only the national championship race in the playoff race, but also the Pac-12 race. It should just be a... That would really throw a wrench, because then Stanford's sitting there with one loss in the conference, and Wazoo would be first in the Pac-12 North, because they had not lost a... they had one loss in the conference. They would be tied with Stanford, but Wazoo would have the tiebreaker because they have the one win. Head-to-head, of course. So those are definitely the two games I'm looking forward to this weekend. The big, huge matchup looms a week from Saturday, LSU versus Bama. Of course, that's always a huge one, and I'm sure there will be plenty of things to talk about with that one when that game comes up, but we're not there yet. All right, so we are going to head to another break. And when we come back, we're going to do some picks for the NFL and college football for next week. And you are listening to Chalk Talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back after a few messages.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. but they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Nikki on the track.
You are listening to Chalk Talk on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Now, back to the show. Here's Jeff Safford.
All right, we are back here on Chalk Talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Just wrapped up our college football talk segment for the week. One thing I forgot to mention with college football talk is that Baylor will be playing without their starting quarterback for the rest of the season. The number 2 ranked Bears saw their quarterback go down. He is out for the season. It's going to be tough for them to come back, but lucky enough for them that they do have a lot of talent offensively. Obviously, that's well documented as their offense has been one of the best ones in college football so far this season, but they do have the bulk of their Big 12 schedule left, so it'll be interesting to see how the Bears respond. We're just about towards the end of our show, just past 4:50 local time. Stay tuned on Penguin Radio if you're listening to Penguin Radio live from 5 to 6 p.m. Uncovered with DJ Soundwave is coming up next. She'll be going over things with YouTube cover artist, and she does a great job every week, puts in a lot of hard work and effort. So make sure you tune in. And if you missed any of our shows, they are all archived in our podcast section on radio.dominican.edu. And if you want to listen to some of my old shows as well, they're there too. All right, so let's get to some picks before we run out of time. We're going to start with college football, and let's go ahead and start with the game on Thursday night. This could be an interesting game, even though both of these teams are out of the playoff picture. Maybe might have a chance to sneak into the conference title race if they get hot. Looking at the game between the Oregon Ducks and the Arizona State Sun Devils. And this game should be interesting because both teams have been inconsistent, and both teams have been inconsistent at the same position, but for different reasons. You look at the Ducks, and they've had a lot of problems, and the Sun Devils have had a lot of problems at the quarterback position. And problem with Oregon is that their starting quarterback, Vernon Adams, has been on and off the field with that broken hand, and their backups just proved to not be a viable option whatsoever. But Adams was back in their last game against the Huskies, and they looked much better. So maybe the Ducks will be able to turn things around and get back into the swing of things in the Pac-12. And you look at Arizona State, and their passing attack ranks 10th in the Pac-12. And Mike Bukervici, a pretty experienced guy, a senior, has been in the starting lineup a couple times and was made famous and will always be famous in Arizona State lore for that huge Hail Mary play he made to Jalen Strong at the end of that game against USC last year. But both teams having trouble with the quarterback position, and I was talking about earlier with the Texans, it goes back to the quarterback and who's plays better. I think whichever quarterback plays better this week on Thursday night will be the winner, and I'm going to take the Ducks on the road. I think the Ducks can win, and with a solid quarterback play, I think it's been proven that they have a great running game, and Royce Freeman and Taj Griffin and all the other weapons that they have, that they should be able to pull it out. I think it should be a tough game. I think it will be close, and I think it'll definitely be worth watching. But I like the Ducks on the road in Tempe on Thursday night. Let's look ahead to our next game. Let's go to Philly, where we'll pick the big game for the weekend, Notre Dame and Temple. This should be you know, an interesting game from the start. And I think for Notre Dame, I think the biggest thing for them is to make sure you come out strong. Because when you got a team like Temple playing with a lot of emotion in front of a hometown crowd, you know, you got all the positive vibes going in their direction. What can happen is this team can get on a roll and just start feeling it. And before you know it, you can be out of the game. And Temple gets the upset win. You know, but Notre Dame's just got to assert themselves early in that game and say, hey, we're still the Golden Domers, you know. We may not have Rudy on the roster anymore, but we're still a pretty damn good football team and a force to be reckoned with. And I think that's what Notre Dame is going to do in this one. I still think Notre Dame, even with their starting quarterback out, and he's been out since the beginning of the season, but I think that they have enough talent on both sides of the ball to make things happen. I suspect Notre Dame will make a big play of a special variety, a fumble return, a kickoff, you know, a blocked punt, something somewhere to create a spark. And you look on the other side for Temple, that's how they should try to win this game. They have to try to make some type of make something happen, force a turnover, you know. And that's what it's going to take this week. And looking ahead to another game, let's go ahead and just go down the list. Washington State versus Stanford. Number 8, Stanford going to Washington State. I'm a little bit surprised by the line that they're giving Stanford, with them being a 12-point favorite on the road in the Palouse. It's kind of an interesting one. You may remember 2 years ago, those two teams faced off in Seattle. It was where the famous popcorn-eating guy was created. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the video. It's completely hilarious, where this guy is just sitting all by himself, you know, just with rain all over him, and just he's just getting every last kernel down to the very end. If you haven't seen the video, I would turn it on if you're in for a good laugh. I mean, it's a funny one. But anyway, back to the game. Talked all about the matchups, Luke Falk and that offense against Stanford. And I think this is going to be a tough game. And, you know, I am really on the fence about this one. You know what? I have a really good friend who's a Washington State alum. I'm going to go with the Cougars. Go Cougs. I think they can do it. If that offense can get it rolling early and just get a rhythm going, that offense is really tough to stop and can really wear defenses out and late in the game. And when you're playing at home in front of a home crowd, that's the type of atmosphere that your offense can get going in. I like the Cougars at home. And, you know, for anything, just a little bit of a change of pace in the Pac-12. You know, we've heard about the Ducks and Stanford just dominating the last number of years in the Pac-12 North. Let's see somebody else step up and, you know, turn back the clock a little bit to a different time. I'm going to take the Washington State Cougars. And with that, we are almost out of time. We're going to pick a couple of NFL games before we go. Let's go right to one of the big matchups, Green Bay Packers facing off against the Denver Broncos on Sunday night. That is the Sunday night football game. It should be a really interesting one. It's that great defense of the Broncos, you know, top-ranked defenses in the NFL, against one of the best passing games and just overall offenses in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers. Another tough game to call, but I like Denver at home. I think Denver, in front of their home crowd, if this game is at Lambeau, I think absolutely slam dunk Green Bay, absolute to put it in the bank. But with the game being on the road and Denver coming off the bye, and I understand that Green Bay is coming off the bye as well, but I just expect for Denver to come out with a sense of urgency. They've heard all of this talk about Peyton Manning looking old and all this stuff. If I were a Denver Bronco player, I'd be pissed off. I'd feel a little bit underappreciated, and for that reason, I'm taking Denver. Another game to look at, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals. Steelers hosting that one. Big Ben may be coming back this week for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and for that reason, and frankly, because Pittsburgh really needs a win, I'm going to take the Steelers at home, and obviously a lot of that will hinge on if Roethlisberger comes back or not, but I still like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for one last one, let's take a look at one other undefeated New England Patriots taking on the Dolphins this week at home at Gillette. And I know the Dolphins have played a little bit better the last couple weeks, but New England's going to shock everybody, and they're going to come out and run the ball a whole bunch. How about that? They haven't been running it at all, so this week they're going to run it a ton. Just, you know, I feel like Bill Belichick just likes to throw a wrench into there just to kind of mess with people sometimes. And so look for the running game to get going this week. LeGarrette Blount, hopefully fantasy owners will have a good game. Deion Lewis, maybe get a couple carries. And I think, especially with also you looking at the Patriots playing at home, Tom Brady almost unbeatable. So I'm going to take New England. And with that, we are out of time here on Chalk Talk. And thank everybody for listening. And also, we are just trying this out. It's our first week. We are streaming live on Ustream.tv as well. So you can watch me, everybody watching me, hi, can see me in the studio as well. So now you can watch and listen to Chalk Talk online. And that's going to do it for me and everybody here at Penguin Radio. Stay tuned for Uncovered with DJ Soundwave coming up in just a minute. I'm Jeff Safford. Have a great night, everybody.
Tell me, do you love me, yeah? Or is you just trying to play me? Cause I need a girl to hold me down for life. If I got locked away and we lost it all today, tell me honestly, would you still love me the same? If I showed you my flaws, if I couldn't be strong, tell me honestly, would you still love me?